Neighborhood Voice explores community issues through the lens of local residents. We've spent time talking with entrepreneurs about their experiences running small businesses and how they've adapted during the pandemic. Now we're getting local perspectives on the impact of COVID-19 from organizations working most closely with the community. I'm your host, Erica Pfizer, and this week I'm joined by Dr. Janet Seabrook, CEO and founder of Community Health Net. Thank you for joining me, Dr. Seabrook.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
What made you want to become a doctor?
That is a question I get asked a lot, and I literally have wanted to be a doctor since I was in kindergarten. My kindergarten teacher is still alive, Mrs. Springer. I always give her kudos when people ask me that question, and this was probably way before your time, but back in the day when you were in kindergarten, everybody had these rainbow-colored mats we used to sit on. It looked like little braids, and we would sit on the mats and in a little circle, and we would share whatever we wanted to share. So this day they asked, what do you want to be? Teacher asked, what do we want to be? And so when I stood up and said that I wanted to be a doctor, everybody fell out laughing. And she came over, she took my hand, and she said, you can be anything that you want to be. And that has always stuck with me. And you wouldn't, again, you wouldn't notice, but back when I was in kindergarten, most doctors were males. And you very, very rarely saw a female physician. And so the nurse would be in the room. So most times when I would say that, people said, oh, you mean the nurse, right? And I said, no, the one that wears the thing around their neck, because I didn't know what it was at the time. And then once I found out what it was and I could pronounce it, I said, that's who I want to be. So it's always been in my mind to be a doctor since the time that I can remember.
It was a calling for you from when you were a little kid. Even before you knew how to name it, the equipment, you knew you wanted it.
I think it came from that sense of, because, of course, before school, at that time, you had to have a physical. My mom took us to the doctor so we can get our physical exams and be, you know, get our vaccines and catch up with everything and be able to go into kindergarten. And that's when I saw the doctor and I saw the nurse. And I think it was his spirit, and he was so kind, he was really gentle, asking questions and letting me try to respond to them. And I just got that warm sense that this was somebody that I wanted to be like.
So flash forward, what made you take the leap to open your own health center?
So a part of it was a little selfish. And I will share with you that I could not pay for medical school, so I had to figure out a way to pay for medical school. So there's a thing called National Health Scholars. And so I applied and became a National Health Scholar and received funding to go to medical school along with the stipend every month. And so with that being said, once you finish medical school and you go through your residency program, you either choose or you are assigned to a fairly qualified health center. Because there was not a health center in Gary, I was assigned to one in Chicago on the south side, and I had to drive over there every day. I almost got stuck over there in the storm of 1998. Almost got stuck over there. They closed 8094. I got off on Torrance Avenue and crawled all the way home in my truck. And then they closed it, and nobody, I mean, cars were stranded on 8094. Yeah. And I think we were in the house for 7 days. Our power went out, whole 9 yards. But after that, I was determined to look at ways, and I'd already worked with the city of Gary and the state of Indiana to write a small implementation grant to put a board together to look at starting a health center. So that was done in 96. But after that storm and driving to Chicago, I said, I need to put some flames under this, and so really started working very hard to get additional funding to actually implement and initiate, at that time, Gary Community Health Center, which we renamed Community Health Net.
I'm sure many of us have been in commutes where we thought, you know what, I'm never doing this again, but you made it happen. You said, I am not doing this commute again. I'm going to open a health center in Gary, so I don't have to do this commute.
So it was a little selfish. Mm-hmm. My countdown for my 4 years as a National Health Scholar, literally the project officer that was supervising me called me and said, Dr. Seabrook, you do know that your time stops when you go to Gary until you build the health center and it will start again. I said, I don't care. I'm out of here.
And now you have 6 locations,
yes,
right?
Soon to be 8.
Soon to be 8. Wow, yes, congratulations.
We thank you so much. We have 4 sites in Gary and 1 in Hammond and 1 in Maryville. But we recently started working with the Hammond School District, and we're going to have a clinic inside of the new Hammond Central High School. It's already built out. It's beautiful. And then they're going to retrofit one into Morton High School.
And what have you learned, I guess, from opening that first clinic to now working on opening your 8th? What has this kind of growth taught you, either about yourself, about your work, your career?
I think that what it has shown me the most is that people's needs are really tied to their health. And I give this example a lot. It's like a hub in the middle of a wheel, and then you have the spokes. And your health is central and key, so your health is the hub. When you don't have that hub, the spokes, which are being able to get up and go to work, being active in your community, being able to pay your bills, you know, be with your family, have time in the community, keep your house up, your yard up. When that hub is pulled out, those spokes fall apart. Mm-hmm. And so the wheel can't move forward. So I always think about how central health is to everything that we do. And when you don't have your health, you're really at the mercy of people to take care of you. So that's what it's taught me.
And what services, you talk about maybe some of the flagship programs or your main programs that you offer at the centers.
Okay, so when we look at health, we look at it really holistically. So we have integrated behavioral health into our primary care. So what does that mean? That means if you come to see someone for family medicine, say that you're going to your family medicine doctor or you're going to a nurse practitioner, that you're going to be screened on your social determinants of health and also depression, what your needs are. So we're going to integrate our behavioral health team into the process of your primary medical visit. And so we have behavioral health integrated into all of our services. We have family medicine, we have OB, we have pediatrics, and we recently started optometry and dental. We're in talks with a chiropractor, and we're going to start those services in January. So we have a wide range of services for our patients that we know sometimes they can't, you know, visit all of these places at once, and several of our locations have multiple services in one location.
Makes it much easier for a patient to come in and get their whole health needs treated.
Yeah, just looking at it holistically and wrapping those services around patients, identifying their needs. We've partnered with the Northwest Indiana Food Bank, so we have pantry packs. If someone comes in and they haven't eaten or they're worried about food insecurity, we're able to get their information, obtain a pantry pack for them, and they leave the visit at the end of the visit with a pantry pack.
Now, you're the first point of contact, I'm sure, for many patients and people who are just maybe looking to take care of their health initially. Maybe they haven't seen a doctor in a long time. Did you see your centers affected by the pandemic, by COVID?
So what happened, we had to quickly transition into telehealth. Of course, when we were told to lock down, that limited people's ability to come to the doctor. Now, we were still there, catching up on charts, making sure that we had the personal protective equipment that we needed when we were able to start seeing patients face-to-face again. Our OB patients kept coming because they needed to come. But we were able to have to see them safely for those visits. But we were able to really transition into telehealth and provide those services for our established patients just by using Zoom and the computer.
Now, I do want to talk about a breast cancer awareness walk that you have coming up. October, as most of us know, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Do you want to share information about that walk?
So for more information, you can go to our website, chn-indiana.org, for anyone who wants information or if you want to donate. We have successfully held this walk every year since we've been a health center. We were incorporated in 1998. And so for more information, go to our website, chn-indiana.org. If the date has passed, by the time that you're hearing this, you can still go to our website and make a donation. All of the money raised goes to help people who are unable to get their own mammogram, either because their insurance doesn't pay for it or they don't have any insurance.
And how many years did you say you've been doing the walk?
Since 1998.
Since 1998. We won't do the math on that. Let's say nearly 30. 31. And that's amazing that you're raising money for mammogram screening, breast health. And is there anything else that you'd like to share about your centers and the services that you provide?
I think that what I would like for people to know most about Community Health Net is that we provide quality health care. We really listen and try to meet the needs of our patients. We try to meet them where they are. I talked about food insecurity and the pantry packs. When we identify someone who has a need, we try to take care of those needs. And again, we're looking to implement additional services such as chiropractic so we can have patients also be treated for chronic pain. And that's something that really needs to be addressed at this time as well.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. I
appreciate all the information you shared. Thank you for joining us this week on Neighborhood Voice. You can visit ourshot219.com for information about local COVID-19 resources in Northwest Indiana. This show is made possible by Legacy Foundation, the Community Foundation for Lake County.